Let's pray before I read the passage and then speak on it. Heavenly Father, please give us ears to hear your word and humble hearts to understand, believe and respond. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Suffering and hardship often make it really difficult to look beyond ourselves. The current pandemic reveals that so much, doesn't it? The news and media are so dominated by the two Vs, the virus and vaccinations. And so much of the time, everything is focused on the UK. Today's chapter in Exodus helps us to see more, to lift our eyes to our supreme and loving God and what he's done for us. As we've worked through the book of Exodus, we've charted the journey of God's people out of slavery towards their new home. They began this journey joyfully, but it's been a hard slog with many challenges and obstacles along the way. Last Sunday, we heard about their most recent scrape with danger when they were attacked by the Amalekites. Yet once more, God rescued his people as Moses lifted up God's staff while Joshua led the defensive. And Exodus 18 looks backwards and forwards in their journey. It's a bit like Tweedledum and Tweedledee, pointing in both directions at the same time. The first half of the chapter looks back at what God has done for his people. And the second half looks ahead to God teaching his people how to live, as we'll see in chapter 20. So there are two things we see here. The first is praise for our supreme God's rescue, and the second is provision for knowing our God's will. Let's look at those in turn. First, in verses 1 to 12, praise for our supreme God's rescue. Do look at verse 1. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 2, Moses ended up in the land of Midian after he'd fled Egypt, and he'd married Jethro's daughter Zipporah. Verses 2 and 3 tell us how Moses had sent back his wife and their boys to his father-in-law, presumably for safekeeping, given his mission in Egypt. And now we have a happy family reunion after God has rescued his people from Egypt and Pharaoh. And here we learn, of all things, the names of Moses' boys. But Moses didn't consult the equivalent of the Penguin Best Baby Names 2021. Instead, he's named them in a way that reminds him of where he belongs and what God has done. In the midst of his anxiety and suffering, he's remembering God's big story for the world. So his first son, Gershom, reminds him, verse 3, I have become an alien in a foreign land. Because Moses belongs neither in Egypt, where he'd grown up, nor in Midian, where he'd escaped to. No, he belongs somewhere much more secure and significant. He needs to remember that, and he wants others to know it as well. And his other boy, Eliezer, verse 4, declares, my father's God was my helper. Why? Because, as Moses said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Moses recalls how he'd had to flee Pharaoh himself in Exodus chapter 2. But this anticipated the way that God then rescued all of his people in Exodus 14. So Moses names his family in a way that recalls God's rescue. And then we hear Jethro declaring that the God of the Hebrews is supreme. And he praises this supreme God for his rescue of his people. Let me read verses 8 to 11. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things that the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hands of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Even though God had saved his people from Pharaoh, they'd met hardships along the way. A reminder that to be one of God's rescued people, it's not like traveling business class. We've heard that time and time again in Exodus, haven't we? God cares for his people, though he does not spare us from all discomfort and grief. But he does not let us go. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand," says Jesus in John chapter 10. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Our gracious God is supreme in his rescue. And that is what Jethro realizes. Now, although Jethro is Moses' father-in-law, he was not a Hebrew. In verse 1, he's described as the priest of Midian. So he's a pagan priest. And yet, despite this, he recognizes God's greatness. And there's such a contrast between Jethro's response to the Lord and his people and the Amalekites' response that we heard in chapter 17. If you remember, they'd attacked God's people unprovoked. Notice Jethro didn't think the Lord was the same as the other gods, just known by a different name. And he didn't say, you know, there are many ways to God. It just depends on how you were brought up. No, says Jethro, the Lord is incomparable, supreme. He has no rivals. He's the one who's rescued his people. And that's what makes Jethro praise this God. It's always helpful to hear a convert from another faith trash the myth that all religions are actually the same. And then in verse 12, "Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God." The fact that they sit down with Jethro at this meal in God's presence and with him bringing burnt offerings and other sacrifices, it all shows he's now a true worshipper of this supreme God. And they recognize his faith in this one true God, and they welcome him as an equal too, not a second-class citizen. So believing Gentile and Jew together worship the one true God. And this has been God's purpose all along. Earlier in the book, God repeatedly said that both Israelite and Egyptian would know that I am the Lord through his rescue. God shows no favoritism for one nationality or race over another. We all equally need his mercy and can now equally find that forgiveness and freedom and new life through his rescuer, the Lord Jesus. God is not prejudiced, nor should his people be. So Jethro changes his allegiance to become one who trusts in the Lord. Imagine this man who's not just been a believer in a different faith community, but actually a leader there. It would be like the imam of Maidenhead Mosque suddenly converting to Christianity, saying, "Yes, Jesus truly is God. He's not merely a prophet." What happens to Jethro is that radical. And it's not a one-off. There are countless examples throughout the Bible and history. Perhaps you've read the autobiography of Nabil Qureshi, a young devout Muslim who tells of his journey from Islam to Christ in his book Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It was published in 2015. Once when I was training in Myanmar, I was really surprised but overjoyed when a young man who had been a Buddhist monk came up to me and said how he became a Christian simply by reading the Bible. How he got one in the monastery, I don't know. But he heard that our Jesus came as the supreme rescuer. Let's never be surprised when people from other religious backgrounds come to acknowledge our great Savior God as the one true God. Whether it's through the speech of a son-in-law like Moses or hearing a sermon via Zoom, or reading the Bible in their own language. Let's not downplay the kindness of our God as he draws people from all sorts of backgrounds to believe in the Lord Jesus. And let's welcome them. It's such an encouragement to hear of people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. But if we've been Christians for a while, we can start to forget what it means to be completely forgiven, to be reconciled to God and know him as our loving Father in heaven, to have a new start with the gift of his Holy Spirit in us, having a true hope and the support of our Christian family. Perhaps if we're weary and discouraged right now, it would help to remember just what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus. Looking back to the cross is the way that we're assured of God's love and care for us, especially when we're struggling. If God did not spare his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32. How do we know the proof of his love? Well, because God demonstrates his own love of us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 verse 8. Moses helped his father-in-law to understand what God had done. And what Jethro did next ensured that God's people would know God's will. And verses 13 to 27 are about provision for knowing our God's will. Provision for knowing our God's will. As we'll discover in the next chapter, Moses acts as mediator between God on Mount Sinai and his people, a sort of go-between. Though they're rescued, they need to know how to live as his rescued people. Listen to verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses is very clear about his role. He has a unique responsibility here, which Jethro recognizes too, because he says to Moses in verse 19, "You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform." But Jethro can see that Moses might crack under the strain in verses 17 and 18. Although he's God's prophet, making God's truth known, and a judge to resolve the disputes between the people, Moses is finite. He's a human being, and he gets weary, as we saw when he was holding up the staff of God in chapter 17. But what happens next is not some primitive management consultancy with Jethro saying, "Well, Moses, my boy, delegate, delegate, delegate." Yes, Jethro does say in verse 21, "Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you." So Moses' responsibility will be shared. But what's vital is that what God tells Moses is to be made available for everyone else to live by. They need God's words, the decrees and laws, verse 16 and 20. It's to be applied to the people's lives by these trustworthy men who'll help them understand and live by it. Now in this chapter, I don't know if you noticed, but Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, is far more called by his title, father-in-law, than by his name. But the point isn't that we have to follow the advice of our father-in-law if we have one. Our father-in-law may have some good life experiences, wisdom, and he may be worth listening to, but he may not. What Jethro recognizes is that Moses' role is essential for the life of God's people. The urgent need is for God's people to have his word to live by. Our God is a speaking God, just as much as being a rescuing God, as we've heard. And just as he gave his word to his people then, he's given us his word now, brought to completion through Jesus and by his work. But we need to know about that work through the words he's given to us in the Bible. For God's people then, to know God's law was to know his character and will, basically to know him. And believers under God's new covenant, Christians, well, they need this too. Christ is the great mediator we need and have, the perfect and only one. He's opened the way for us to know God through his death on the cross. But it's this particular aspect of being a mediator, bringing God's truth so we can live as his people, which is in focus here. One of the challenges we all face in this lockdown is more than ever to hear and know God's word, so we can know and therefore trust him. Hopefully, like God's people then, we want Christ's word to lovingly rule our lives. As Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. That's why it's good to persevere with growth groups on Zoom whenever we can, even if it does feel so second best to actually meeting in person. And it's great to use something like those books, Meals with Jesus or The Glory of the Cross, to help us spend some time in the Bible each day, understanding and remembering God's rescue through Jesus. When I was teaching in a refugee camp on the Thai-Burma border, I was struck by how much I can take for granted having access to a Bible. Some of the Karen refugees there were desperate to have a Bible in their own language. They asked if we could help because either they couldn't afford a Bible or they just weren't available. And here we are with Bibles galore available for free on our phones and the internet in many different versions and probably on our bookshelves too. But do we make the most of them? How much we need God's word to sustain us, to guide us, and encourage us and comfort us right now. And he's made provision for that. Let's try to help one another to remember all that God has done for us in Jesus, and that others may also hear of our supreme God's rescue and so praise him. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your supreme rescue of us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us your word, which helps us to know about it. Please help us to read, to understand, and to help others to know your supreme rescue as well. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.